It's Sophia Franklin. You are listening to Sophia with an F.
Hey, Sleuth.
And the F is for phenomenal. This podcast is rated F.
Even when I was a millionaire, I had the Ferrari, the Lambo, the Porsche, the M5, the Jeep. Women were throwing themselves by the dozen at me. And once everybody left my hotel room, I felt empty.
Have you ever noticed how celebrities have brighter, wider looking eyes? Their makeup artists have a little secret in their kit. Lumify Redness Reliever Eye Drops. Lumify dramatically reduces redness in just 1 minute. It literally happens right before your eyes to help them look brighter, wider, and more awake for up to 8 hours. No wonder it's so loved by influencers, celebrities, and makeup artists, and has over 6,000 five-star reviews on Amazon. Lumify is also the number one eye doctor recommended redness reliever eye drop, and it's FDA approved. No bleach, no dyes. Plus, it's made by the eye care experts at Bausch & Lomb, so whether you're on set, on a date, or running on just a few hours of sleep, you can have eyes that look brighter and wider with Lumify eye drops. When you try it, you'll see that it's what your eyes have been looking for. Check out LumifyEyes.com to learn more. Reality TV has hit a new high on Hulu. From executive producer Jimmy Kimmel, the all-new Hulu original series High Hopes is finally here for your viewing pleasure. High Hopes follows two budding entrepreneur brothers and their hilarious, half-baked, literally, employees at one of the fastest-growing cannabis dispensaries in Hollywood. This workplace comedy showcases the highs and even more highs of the competitive marijuana industry. You will absolutely fall in love with the quirky characters as they pursue career aspirations, love, and fame, all under a slightly hazy cloud. If you know, you know. All episodes of the new reality series High Hopes are now streaming only on Hulu. This is absolutely a show I'm getting behind.
Oh my God, this is my good side right here. Straight. Right here.
Straight?
Yeah, I like a straight.
Oh, come on.
I like a straight.
You have to pick left or right.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Do you want me to tell you?
I don't know.
Or do you not want to know?
No, I don't mind. I always prefer straight, but probably this side.
Okay, Mike, the motherfucking, nope, I'm not supposed to swear within 3 minutes for YouTube. Mike, the situation, everybody, wearing Versace, I'm wearing Miu Miu, not that anybody asked. Mike, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
We've already had some pretty deep discussions.
We have, and I'm actually pretty impressed.
Yeah?
Yeah, I am.
With me?
I definitely am.
Thank you.
Over the first 5 minutes of our conversation, you got your stuff together.
Yeah. Right, because you were talking to me and guiding me.
No, we were just really just having a conversation, I think, in our setup. And I can tell that, like, you are very – you can go really deep.
Mm-hmm.
You have, like, a very spiritual side and a little sensitive side to you. And I actually – like I said, I'm impressed.
Would you say you have a sensitive side?
100%. I'm a Cancer.
Okay, so am I.
Oh, really?
Yes. When's your birthday?
July 4th.
July 20th.
Oh, my God. That's so cool. Yeah.
Okay.
That's probably where it's from. Yep.
So your book, Reality Check,
yes,
is off the charts. It's doing incredibly well. Mm-hmm. I've heard so many amazing reviews. Mm-hmm. And there's so many things I want to jump into. Let's start a little bit from the beginning. You had just gone out of rehab and you were casted for Jersey Shore.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't want to tell anybody about it. Yeah, but yeah.
Okay. So can we talk about it now?
Oh yeah. No, I'm saying at the time
I
didn't tell casting producers about it because I had just gotten out of rehab, and we're talking about going on to a TV show or an unknown one at the time, and you're living, working, and partying there for the summer. Again, at the time, I didn't have much knowledge about self or addiction, for that matter. So when I did go to rehab, I got detoxed physically and went right back to, you know, ripping and running technically, you know. And once the show started that first season, I was really just going to the club and partying and drinking at the time. I was staying away from my drug of choice, which technically was oxycodone.
Okay.
And maybe cocaine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Would you pop it? Would you smoke it?
What?
The oxy.
Oh, in the beginning, it was really just taking the pills.
Okay.
I would always have a very large amount at all times.
On you.
Once season two happened, I started that season with probably like close to 500 pills. You know, that I crushed up in a pill crusher, and I reconstituted with like fat burners. And I remember season two that I did that on purpose because, you know, these TV shows have security protocols. And I'm like, how am I going to get by them? You know, what am I going to do? I'm like, there's no way they're going to know if I take apart a fat burner, put 500 oxycodone 30 milligrams in the said pill crusher bowl, and then reconstitute them. And I remember in season two, as we're unpacking and I'm on the show, and I remember like opening up my fat burner and popping the pills and looking at the eye in the sky, which was filming me, like, there's no way they're gonna know. There's no way they're gonna know. But eventually they're gonna know.
This sounds like some Breaking Bad shit.
It was.
So you were mixing it with fat burner, which does what?
Well, no, I took the
I
crushed up the pills, put them in a ceramic pill crusher, and then I took out what was inside of the fat burner, which obviously is like could be caffeine or ephedra or whatever. I threw that out, and then now I'm dipping the capsule back in and reconstituting it. Now, it started as an Oxy 30, but once you put it back together yourself, there's no way of telling what you just did. It could have been an Oxy 60. It
wow.
could be a 70. You don't know what you just did. And every single day was like, oh, I wonder what this is. And then, you know, I just remember like the cameras in the sky watching me, and I'm opening up the fat burner, and I didn't think there was no way for them to know at the time for that one.
Yeah.
Every single season after that was like different capers, almost like Mission Impossible, trying to get past their security protocols that they were pretty much trying to protect me.
Okay, and how serious were the protocols? They obviously didn't have dogs, but like, would they search your bags and your rooms or?
They had a good 8 to 10 probably security guards on set every season. They would go through everyone's bags. They would check your shoes. They would check your socks.
Damn.
You know, and do a very thorough search, but they didn't have, I guess they didn't have dogs on set, obviously. I mean, who would think to grab some dogs?
No,
well, that was a very good idea of yours. But they didn't have dogs. But again, can dogs sniff out pills? Oxycodone? Probably not. I don't think so. They can only sniff out cocaine and weed probably.
No. I don't know. Well, okay, so I
that's a pharmaceutical.
True. I thought that they could sniff that. We got to look that up. Now I need to know.
My bet is on no.
No.
My bet is on no, because I just don't think that – it's almost like sniffing out an aspirin.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, to a certain extent. I don't think they're trained to sniff oxycodone, definitely weed and definitely cocaine.
Yeah. Weed for sure. They used to bring dogs to my high school to like go through the classrooms and like sniff all our bags, and we'd have to do random drug testing.
Yeah, I just don't think that they're going to be able to sniff out a pharmaceutical pill that has been formulated and crushed and has like, you know.
Not after you're done with it. Yeah. God knows what it is.
But yeah. So yeah, every single season was like Mission Impossible trying to get past MTV protocols. And that was after season two. They had given us pretty much like $1 million raise. And we were like the first kids to get paid that type of big bucks at the time.
Wow, you guys paved the way for a lot of reality stars now.
If you're in the business of reality TV and you're not at the top, then
it's not even close.
Yeah,
to
you're
that.
Not you're not going to get paid at all. Yeah. Very well. Anybody that comes into the business, you know, you got to, you know, sort of make your name or establish yourself first.
Right. So the first season, it's only alcohol.
It was only alcohol. Yeah, I was purposely trying to stay away from pills, which that was my drug of choice.
Okay. And then second season, we're reintroducing the pills.
Second season, we got that big $1 million raise. And the first thing I did was go to a Ferrari dealership and get a Ferrari. And I had about 500 oxycodone, 30 milligrams in my pocket at the same time.
Okay.
Now, again, I'm not condoning this behavior.
No, no, no.
I was just very, I was young. I was wild. I was reckless. And I guess I thought that's what you do. You know,
I mean, and how, who's going to prepare you yes. for that? Your parents don't know.
Yes. Yes. And the year before us getting that big $1 million raise, I didn't even have to file taxes because I was like a kid, like in college, like stripping and probably being a drug dealer. So I didn't have to file taxes. You know what I'm saying? And then the next year you go to be making $5 million and you're like, oh, wow. Wow, that's a lot of money. I'm killing it. I don't have to file, do I? But you do, because that was one of the reasons why eventually down the line, the IRS came knocking.
Oh, it was from taxes way back.
Yeah,
when?
Yeah, exactly. So pretty much if you don't think you're going to get caught, most likely you're going to get caught pretty yeah. much. So I didn't file in, let's just say 2009. And the clock started ticking. And then eventually they came knocking at my door and they were waiting for me at the airport when I was going to Spain, like I was John Wayne with like 8-7 agents and windbreakers. Like I was like—
In front of just like the general public
at the
airport?
In front of everybody. There was just like a good like 5-7 agents in the IRS windbreakers with their clipboards saying, hey, you know, you are being investigated for, you know, tax crimes. A grand jury, you know, investigation has been opened. And at the time I was just so high and I was already going to Spain. I was just disassociated at the time of what was really happening.
So do you think that part of the reason, obviously there's the addiction portion, but do you think getting famous, being on a show, having all eyes on you contributed to you wanting to do drugs?
No, I was just a very wild, you know, kid. Like I was never a follower. You know, I was always, you know, a leader. If you told me not to do something, I did it twice and took photos.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I was that type of kid. Even before I was famous, I was a drug dealer. I was a stripper. You know, I loved women. I loved cars. I loved money. Then once I got the fame and the money, it was like gasoline to a fire.
Apartments.com believes having a gym in your building does way more than just get you in shape. It turns your entire life around and is a great place to scope out the hot guy that lives in your building. And by guy, I mean guys. Having a gym in your building makes it 10 times more likely that you actually end up, show up, and work out. I mean, it's 5 floors down or whatever it is. And you'll be saving money on a gym membership that you'll go to probably half as much. With Apartments.com, finding somewhere to live is easy. Apartments.com hosts more rental listings with over 1 million available units. And with comprehensive search tools and instant alerts, you never have to worry about missing out on the perfect place. Or a treadmill, for that matter. To find whatever you're searching for and more, visit apartments.com, the place to find a place.
Let's talk about that. When you say gasoline to a fire, we all know what that means, like things just got out of control.
Yeah.
But you also say in your book, you felt extremely lost as a person?
In the beginning, that's a very good question. In the beginning, I felt empty. Even when I was a millionaire, I had, you know, 7 cars in my driveway. I had the Ferrari, the Lambo, the Porsche, the M5, the Jeep. Women were throwing themselves by the dozen at me. And I'm not just saying dozen. It was really at by the dozen. And once everybody left my hotel room, I felt empty. And I was like, I don't know if I want this. You know what I'm saying? And obviously, I eventually had an epiphany years later, obviously going through this this roller coaster. And I'm like, I really just want to find when I was actually really happy. And when was the last time I was really happy? And that was when I was in college and I was going out with my college sweetheart, who is now my wife.
Yes, which I absolutely want to talk about. How were you able to navigate, or like, what was your relationship like at the height of your fame and your addiction?
At the height of my fame, you know, my ex-girlfriend was with someone else. I mean, I heard whispers of her, you know, about to be engaged. And I'm like, damn, like, you know, she was the one that, you know, got away. And in my book, I write that every time that I came home and I had a minute, okay, I would jump in my Lamborghini, right, and drive to Homedale, New Jersey, where my ex-girlfriend lived, hoping that she was outside or her parents were outside. And I was blasting Drake's Marvin's Room, okay, which if anybody knows about Drake's Marvin's Room or whatever, Marvin's Room, that it's kind of like, you know, leave your man or whatever. You know, I would eventually get her back, you know, but it's a really good story.
It's an incredible story. And I think her being in that other relationship is just a testament to your guys' relationship now. Because sometimes when I see people right out of high school, right out of college together, it worries me a little bit. Do you get what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
they haven't had experiences.
Yeah. Yes, yes. Sometimes you have to let the bird out of the cage. And if it comes back, it's meant to be.
And so how did you guys come back together? For people who haven't read the book.
In 2013, around a little bit before that, the first series of Jersey Shore had just ended. I continued to do other shows like, you know, Celebrity Big Brother. And I also did some other shows as well. And a family member of mine said, hey, you know, I just went to this kickboxing gym in New Jersey and guess who I saw? And I'm like, you know, and at the time I was in active addiction. I was on pills all the time. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to leave my house because people would take photos of me and obviously see that I was high all the time. And they told me that it was Lauren. And as soon as I found out it was Lauren, I was like, okay, I'm going to the same place tomorrow, same time, in hopes that she was there. And guess what? I did, and she was.
Did you show up with the Lambo and Marvin's Room blasting?
I did show up with the Lambo. I don't know if Marvin's Room was playing, but I was in this kickboxing gym. I hadn't seen her in obviously years. The last time that I checked, I heard that she was getting engaged. I was in a really bad spot in my life, you know, depressed. You know, I was in active addiction, which means I'm, you know, dependent on pills. I was like a recluse, you know, and we locked eyes and it was like time did not pass.
Wow.
And as soon as that happened, we had a conversation like afterwards, and like the same spark was there. And I knew that this is what I need in my life. And then she was also telling me that at the time, the guy that she was with was not who she thought he was. So I was like, oh my God, like that's perfect. Like, you know, I might be able to, you know, I guess it's court this, the love of my life back. But also you got to note that I was in a really bad spot in my life. I didn't look good. I put on a little bit of water weight from just not being healthy. And I think she noticed it. And we kind of like nursed each other back once we decided to like get back together. And we pretty much got back together immediately once we locked eyes.
And you told her right away what was happening. I'm. Well,
and what she knew right away, she probably looked at my eyes and they were probably like, you know,
soulless.
They were probably like pinpointed and, you know, which means like you're on opiates, you know, because the, you know, your pupils are pinpoint. And she probably knew right away and she didn't say anything. She probably knew, but she probably were like, I can fix this man probably.
Mm-hmm.
And she was the connection that I needed, like the belief in love that I needed to fight addiction.
Wow. Wow. That's just such a testament. Yeah. She's really the star
yes,
here.
Yes, she is.
Like, shout yeah. out.
Yes.
So you've been sober 8 years.
Yeah, we're going on our ninth. Yes. We're in our ninth now. Yeah.
Congratulations. Yeah. A lot of people don't make it that far.
Yes. It's the odds are against people when it comes to addiction. I mean, people don't make it. They never recover. They pass. They go to jail or prison. It's very, very sad.
Yeah. I grew up around a lot of drug addiction, so I've seen it firsthand. Mm-hmm. And you said you were in recovery 4 times.
Yeah.
So what was, I mean, aside from your wife, what was like the 4th time or that defining moment or that moment that changed it for you where you were like, I can do this and stick to it?
It was a combination of the last time that it happened, and a day before I had tried heroin for the first time.
Mm.
And my mom and my now wife saved me. And it's a really like unbelievable story. I mean, the story is just like, anytime I tell it, like I get tingles because I feel that God saved me and spared my story so that I can save others.
Wow.
And I remember just being in a really, really bad place. It was 2015. I was, at the time, I was about 3 months behind on my rent.
Okay.
The millions I had spent already. I had spent, about $1 million on lawyers defending my case.
Jesus.
Yes, $1 million. Okay. Once my accountants looked at my books, they said, did you know you spent upwards of $500,000 to $600,000 on cocaine and oxycodone? And I'm like, damn, really? But it's true. I was just very, very, just, I was just really wild, you know?
And you're not keeping track of that when you're in
exactly.
the depths of your addiction.
Exactly. When you're spending about $2,000 a day, it adds up over a 3-year period. Or $2,500 a day, it adds up at the end of the day to about $600,000 after about 3 years. So at this particular point, I'm really down on myself. I'm depressed. And I'm about to be evicted. My family, my mom and brothers and stuff, they knew that I was in active addiction, so they were kind of like losing hope. At the time, my then girlfriend, who's now my wife, she was sort of like on her last straw as well. And I just wanted to not feel the way that I was feeling at the time. So I called one of my buddies up. I'm like, yo, man, can we score some pills? And he's like, yeah, sure. This is a kid that I grew up with. You know, we drove to high school together. We've been friends since we were little. He comes to my house and he's like, oh, we got to go to Newark. I'm like, damn, Newark? He's like, nah, man, you stay in the car. I'll drive. I'm like, all right, cool. We go to Newark, and I knew it was a bad idea from the start. It just had a bad vibe to it. And we get there. I'm hearing sirens and cop cars, and I'm just like, oh, this is horrible. I can't believe I'm doing this right now. He goes inside these apartment complexes, and he's gone for like an hour or two. I mean, literally, it was like the longest stretch. Like, I was literally like, you know, sweating in the car. He came back, and he's like, oh, we're good. I'm like, okay, cool. We start driving on the turnpike, but back. And he throws something on my lap. And I'm like, oh, you know, I thought it was a pack of 50 oxycodone 30 milligrams, blues, they call in the street. And it turned out to be a bundle of heroin. And I'm like, I've never seen it before. And mm-hmm. it was like wax paper and it was rubber bands. And it was like this tan substance. And I'm like, what the hell is this? And then I look at him like, dude, come on. Are you for real? You're going to try to like push me over the line? Because anytime I ever heard anybody crossing that line of heroin, they don't come back. And at this particular point, if I didn't have a substance, I would start to go through withdrawals over the next couple hours. So my brain, I'm like, oh man, I don't want to do this. Anyway, I get back to my house. I go, Lauren's there, and we're fighting because she knows that I'm doing bad stuff. I tell her upstairs, I want to go upstairs and be left alone. I lock the door and I got this substance in my hand. I'm like, all right, I'm just going to try it. So I take out a key bump. I'm like, a key bump can't hurt. You know, it's a small amount. It can't hurt. So I go in and I try it. And I'm like, oh my God, I really didn't like it. I'm like, I felt a little dirty at the time, but I'm like, I don't like it. So I'm like, all right. I didn't really feel, because I had a high tolerance when it came to Roxy's. And then another voice on my shoulder, which obviously was the devil, was like, why don't you try a little bit more and make you feel a little better? So as I was going in for that second key bump, my phone rang. And no joke, like I got tingles saying it right now. It was my mom. So imagine having your mom on one hand and then the devil on the other. I couldn't reconcile the two at the time. And literally I looked up at the ceiling like, oh my God, is there like some cameras in my cell? Because my mom was like, are you okay? I'm worried about you. I'm like, this is too crazy. And at the same time, Lauren's banging at the door trying to get in. And at that point, I'm like, this is too much. I gotta surrender. I can't do this no more. I eventually flushed the drugs or the heroin down the toilet. I had a tear coming down my eye because I knew how close maybe my life had just come. Mm-hmm. And then I told my mom I had to go. I hugged Lauren and I went to rehab the next day. And so then when I was in rehab, I'm like, dude, this is my last shot. I got the government coming after me for $10 million. I just tried heroin 2 days ago. I could have just put my life on the line. I got to put all hands on deck to try to save myself right now.
That's such an incredible story.
Yeah.
It was divine intervention.
It was.
Also, your mother has like a sixth sense at all times.
I couldn't believe it. I couldn't. I looked up at the ceiling and the hi-hats and I'm like, wait a second. I'm like, am I on the Truman Show right now? Like, right. Did somebody put like some cameras in my ceiling? I couldn't believe it. It was definitely a come to God moment. I feel that like God saved my life from the fiery pits of hell, mm-hmm. but on one condition. I go back in with buckets of water to save others, and that's why we have this book.
Wow, that's really incredible.
It
is, it is.
Can you feel it, Sleuths? The days are getting warmer and spring has officially sprung, which means spring break is here. Which for the older folk, that basically means people are going outside, they're staying outside, and they are staying out way longer. But the thing is, who wants to deal with those post-party struggles? I know I don't. I mean, I quite literally and physically can't at this stage in my life. And that's where my spring break essential comes in, which is Taste Salud. Say goodbye to the Sunday scaries with Taste Salud's hydrating drink mixes. Listen, I started my spring break a little bit early last weekend when my best friend Allie came to town and we had a night or two on the town, and how I felt, honestly, come Monday morning was better than any spring break party you can imagine. And that is a rare occurrence for me and has only started happening since I've started drinking Taste Salud religiously. Because unlike those big name brands we all know, Salud knocks it out of the park with their one-of-a-kind flavors. I'm drinking one right now. And no, it's not because I plan on drinking any kind of alcohol, but just because I'm trying to get hydrated and energized. I'm obviously drinking the horchata flavor, but you get to enjoy flavors like cucumber lime, hibiscus, and they even have mocktails now. Say hello to Paloma and strawberry margarita. Filled with electrolytes and vitamins that support hydration and boost immunity with less sugar. I'm talking only 1 gram of sugar per stick. This is exactly what you need to get your Sunday fun day going, regardless of what the rest of the day entails. And here's the best part. They're sharing the love with all of my listeners. Enjoy 10% off your first purchase with the code SOFIA10 at checkout. That's SOFIA and the number 10 at TasteSalud.com. Cheers to health this spring break season with Taste Salud. Now this is my kind of content right here. From visionary filmmaker Luca Guadagnino comes Challengers, starring the absolute queen herself, Zendaya, Josh O'Connor, and Mike Feist. Zendaya stars as Tashi Duncan, a former tennis prodigy turned coach who has taken her husband Art and transformed him into a world-famous Grand Slam champion. To jolt him out of his recent losing streak, she makes him play a challenger event, close to the lowest level of the pro tournament. But her strategy takes a turn when he finds himself standing across the net from his former best friend and Tashi's former boyfriend, Patrick. Past and present collide, and tensions run high. Tashi must ask herself, what will it cost to win? See Challengers now, playing only in theaters. Get tickets now at challengersmovie.com. What advice do you have for people who are dealing with someone in their house? Maybe like, let's say their son, for example, or anyone, brother, husband, but someone, close family member who's dealing with addiction. It's a really hard spot.
It is.
To want to take care of that person,
yeah.
But you don't want to enable them, but you're scared to just leave them because of what will happen.
Yeah, you really got to try to inspire them. I mean, obviously the first step is getting the help, is sort of like putting your hand up and surrendering and saying, I need help, and then getting to rehab. That is the first step. But a lot of times people are reluctant to even do that. You know, I have so many people that are in my DMs with the exact same question. I'm like, please, you know, gift your brother or your dad or your mother my book. Let them read my story. And if Mike the Situation can do it. And I was crazy as fuck. Can I say fuck?
Absolutely.
I was crazy as fuck. If I could do it, they can too. And that's really why I was so honest and raw in my book, because we all know Mike. He's 9 years sober now. You know, I'm an amazing husband and father and things like that. But like, if you know where I came from, you know what I mean? Where I was addicted, pretty much homeless, government coming after me for $10 million, dependent on drugs, and I still got out, then your ass can get out too.
That's, yes. I mean, you're giving this book to someone so they can see it, right?
Yes.
And like understand it firsthand, because I think a lot of people who are in addiction, they see no way out.
Yeah.
That's like a huge portion.
And they also think that nobody understands them. You know what I mean? Like if you read my book and some of my crazy times, I'm actually jumping out of moving cars while Snooki, JWoww is in the car, Pauly's in the car, because I'm going to try to cop drugs while production and cops are there to protect me. And I still escaped and eventually still copped my drugs. Eventually, I found my way to the other side. But the stories are just so crazy.
Yes. Well, I want to move on from this, but I think it's just so important. You on the show would say, and this was code for getting drugs.
Oh,
how many girls would be at the party?
Yeah, I didn't think that production would catch on to that.
Did they?
They did.
Okay.
Because I was so excited to go tanning. They were like, there's no way that this kid can be this excited to go tanning or GTL every day. There's got to be something to it. And there was, because I was copping 50 packs of blues or oxycodone 30 milligrams at the tanning salon every time I walked in there. Once they demiked me and they stopped the cameras, there was a pack of 50 pills underneath the eyewear and the towel, which is ridiculous. Imagine someone setting that up. That is just totally ridiculous. It's insanity.
It is. The amount of enabling that was like around you, you know? Obviously, it's you at the end of the day, but...
It's like a Martin Scorsese film.
No, it is.
Like, this guy was getting 50 packs every time he went tanning, and eventually production found out that, like, there's no way he can be this excited to go tanning every day. Obviously, I love tanning, and GTL was our moniker, but I was, like I said...
It was
like an enabling...
The excitement was a little...
Yeah, and obviously, they probably saw my eyes after, and the behavior... I started ruining, like, the set and throwing furniture out the window. And I'm like, I thought this is what y'all want. Remember Gladiator? Isn't this what you want?
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, isn't this what you guys want? You know what I mean? Like, but I was just too crazy, you know? And hence why eventually the relations with the cast and production was severed, because I was just uncontrollable. I was just, I mean, it was hard to be around me, I'm sure, because you just didn't know what I was going to do.
Right. Which is kind of like... As a producer, it's you want the reality stars to be outrageous, but they really want you to like teeter this line, right? Which is very, it's kind of a crazy line to be trying to teeter every day.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I definitely turned into a huge liability, but I eventually had an amazing recovery. But at the time, I mean, you know, I would escape set all the time. And it was just like a common occurrence where the cast or JWoww or Snooki would be like, oh, mic bounced. I would bounce for an hour or two, maybe a day. I would cop drugs and then come back. And then when they wanted to frisk me, I'd be like, call my lawyer. Which, you know, again, I was very uncontrollable at the time. And the president of MTV had my phone on speed dial, because we were the biggest show in the country when we first came out. I mean, we've been on TV for 15 years, and anytime we're on air, it's like number one on cable. But still, at the time, in the beginning, we were getting like 8-9 million viewers, which is like Game of Thrones numbers, is records. We have the record for the most... Are the highest ratings in MTV history, so...
I believe it. The show is and will always be so iconic. How do you feel now? I mean, I know Jersey Shore, there's a reboot. Has it been difficult with your sobriety?
No.
No.
No. I understand that I am one of the craziest son of a bitches around. You know, pretty much.
Yeah.
And it's my job to keep that under wraps, you know? And so now I'm able to redirect that energy and self towards positivity, towards work, towards being a good friend, towards being a good husband, being a good dad. The old Mike didn't know how to control it, and I was a menace. So that's the difference. I can go into clubs now. I can go into bars. I can go to strip clubs. I'm the most outgoing, wild person in the club, okay? But I'm not on anything because I know myself. Mm-hmm. I already have that personality that inside of me. I'm on a vibe. You know what I mean? I'm high on life. I don't need anything.
I mean, I can feel it right now.
Yeah.
Like, see, that's where I'm like, I've tried to go out not under the influence of usually alcohol. And I'm like, I do not want to be at the club right now. Please take me home.
Eventually, you start to, the people that are drinking start to look really dumb. Eventually. Eventually. And because you are providing sound conversation, okay? And eventually, after a couple drinks, your friends are doing the opposite. And eventually, you're like, I can't, you know, after an hour or two, you're like, You're looking dumb. You're sounding dumb. You're taking photos. You look great, but your friend looks like a mess.
Right.
It's pretty realistic to be like, okay, I'm going to drive you guys home. I'm going to become the designation. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And then the next morning when it's time to go to the gym, guess who doesn't have a hangover? Guess who looks good? Guess who always looks young now? It's you, because you're making the good decisions.
Yeah. It's crazy how... I quit alcohol for, I think it was 50 days.
You're so much healthier.
It's crazy how used to, like, we get used to feeling like shit and operating from there, that we think it's normal. Mm-hmm. And then when you're not operating from that place, you're like, whoa, I had no idea this was a possibility.
You also gain a strength from almost like a streak. Like, I'm on 9 years of sobriety. That is on my sleeve like a badge of honor, because I'm like a warrior. Not many people can do it. So my strength my courage and all that, it's almost like it keeps going up because I know how hard that is. And obviously I'm very healthy as well. So I think you also gain a strength from abstinence. Yes.
Mm-hmm. I recently recorded an episode last week where I break down crying multiple times. I think I was talking about this when you walked in. And a big part of it was this feeling where I am 31 and I kind of was looking in the mirror like, who are you?
Mm.
Like, not a huge, strong sense of self.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know where it got lost along the way, if I just never developed it. I don't really know.
How long did it last?
Well, I feel like I'm in it a little bit.
Oh, really?
So that's why
it's been a day, a week, a month?
I mean, I feel like, well, it's really come to my attention in the past couple months.
Oh, couple months.
But I mean, it's always been there a little bit, feeling a little bit lost, you know? And people would be like, okay, what's your 5-year plan or where do you see yourself? And I never knew how to answer that, mm-hmm. which maybe that's different, but I think there's some similarities. But my question for you is, how did you find yourself?
I got on the path of self-improvement, whether it was mentally, physically, spiritually, personally, and professionally. And any negativity, like on a list, I would remove it, okay? And I stayed on that because I remained sober. And you can gain inches physically, you know, whether it's at the gym. Also, you can gain it. You can gain it through work, which is this.
Mm-hmm.
If you're always on that particular journey, it's a very rewarding journey because there's always something to improve. There's always somewhere where you can get inches. I can be a good friend. I can be a better friend. I can be a better son. I can be an amazing dad. I can be a better worker for MTV or some of the people that I work with. I can have an amazing interview with you and be like, wow, I rocked that for the day.
Mm-hmm.
And that is how I continue to get on my journey that I've been on for almost 9 years. And it has been like my secret sauce.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's like a one day at a time thing. And before we started this podcast, I said, at the end of the day, let go and let God handle the rest. Be your best for that day, right?
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, put your head on the pillow, right? When you wake up the next day, if you repeat, there's not many people that are going to be able to keep up with you when you work like that.
Yes. Yes. And it is really one day at a time.
Yes, 24 hours at a time. I don't like...
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, it's 24 hours at a time. I can be my best self. I don't compete with anybody but myself. And if I can be better than the day before, there's no one that can compete with me because I am working at a pretty high efficient pace.
That's huge. You should only be comparing yourself to yourself.
Yes.
Or else you get lost.
Yes. They say that comparison is the thief of joy.
It is.
So you need to compare yourself to yesterday. Yes.
Yesterday.
Yes.
Yesterday's you.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's have a little bit of fun. I have a couple questions for you. We're going to just like fire them out.
Mm-hmm.
Taylor ham or pork roll?
Definitely pork roll.
Okay. 100% period.
The brand is Taylor Ham.
Wait, is it?
The brand is Taylor Ham, but it's pork roll, the name of the product.
Okay.
That's my stance.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you still GTL? Not the one GTL. Not with the
pills in it. Not with the pills in it. Yes.
The sober GTL.
Yes. GTL is a way of life. It is self-care. It's like gym, tan, laundry, manicure, pedicure, haircut,
tanning,
facial.
Tanning.
I got you. Tanning. I do not tan the face.
Okay.
I put two towels over the face.
Sunscreen?
I think sunscreen's poison.
Okay. That's valid.
Do you feel what I'm getting from? Mm-hmm. I think sunscreen's poison. I think the sun's good for you.
Okay. The sun. But the tanning bed, that's like a little controversial.
It might be different. Yeah. I have to look into that.
Okay.
I have to look into
it. Okay. You'll look into it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Do you tan?
I'm gonna get eaten up alive. I tan the body once or twice a year.
Okay.
In the middle of winter, especially when
okay.
I go home.
Okay.
Where it's Utah and it's very cold and dark and gloomy.
Uh-huh.
People would get really mad at me for that.
I'll be honest, really mad at me. The question is, do you get vitamin D from a tanning bed?
I feel like you do. You do. Because my doctor prescribed it to my mom.
Okay, so I'm gonna give the thumbs up for the
We're not sure we condone that yet. We're gonna circle back. You are extremely in shape. You got here with your oatmeal. I had a cake pop.
Yeah.
And you
were like, I am not going to eat this cake pop in front of you while you eat the oatmeal. Yeah. One of my new goals for 2024 is to reveal an amazing six pack this year. Now that I just dropped my book, now I need to divert my new energies to a new goal.
Okay. Where is the, are we at like a 3-pack, 4-pack?
Yeah, we're definitely at a 4-pack for okay. sure. And I think in a couple weeks or months of consistency, anything's impossible for anybody, to be honest with you.
So. Yeah. How important is protein? I'm asking for myself, by the way, because yes. I'm trying to gains over here.
It is important to consume protein, I think 20 to 30 minutes post-workout.
How many grams of protein do you get?
I believe that you're supposed to have one per pound.
Jeez.
For a male, I believe.
But how do you really do that realistically?
I mean, shakes are usually 30 grams, 40 grams per shake sometimes.
How many shakes are you having a day?
You could have two shakes. And then obviously in the other meals, you can have, chicken or tuna or salmon. I'm actually trying fasting these days as well.
Mm.
I heard fasting is amazing for you.
Intermittent fasting,
but I've tried 24 hours before, but I really want to shoot for the 3 days.
Oh, okay. I've heard of I think I've seen the 3 days.
I think it's really good for you. The funny part is I did a 24-hour fast, and at 24:01, I had pizza and chicken fingers to celebrate at 24:01, which was kind of funny.
But, so you were like literally ordering it beforehand
I did myself dirty because I felt a little sick afterwards, because when your body goes through the fast and then you go feed it chicken fingers and pizza, it's probably the worst thing ever. But my brain was telling me to do it. It was a bad idea. I felt sick for like 2 hours.
Okay, you did get sick.
I felt sick. Almost like maybe I shouldn't have ingested that. Maybe I should have tried juice first.
Or maybe eased into something
a little healthier. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you really think the Earth is flat?
Ooh, that is a very good question.
Just be real.
I believe that it says it in the Bible.
Okay.
And that there is a firmament over us, and you can't break that firmament.
Okay.
I believe it is somewhat flat. Yes. The jury's still out on that.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's your opinion.
Yeah.
Well, if we're going to talk about conspiracy theory, some people might call it that.
Yes. I am still not convinced that it is
round.
Yeah. There are tons of flat earthers across the globe.
Okay. Do you think Stevie Wonder's blind?
Oh.
Because he's not.
Oh my God, you don't think he's blind?
No, I just talked about this.
Are you into conspiracy too?
Not so much.
Okay, because my whole TikTok is conspiracies.
Okay.
April 8th, it's going down on the solar eclipse. Anybody get ready. Stock up on water, food. Could be going down.
April 8th?
It's all over my TikTok.
Damn.
The solar eclipse, once in a lifetime event. I think in certain states, they're calling like National Guards and things like that. The whole Jersey Shore crew is stocking up on food.
Okay.
Yeah, it's
happening. My family is from Utah. My grandma and grandpa are Mormon. Like, they've been stocked. They've been stocked for a while.
My Amazon list right now is bad. I have it right now. It's so funny. My Amazon list for April 8th is, you'll laugh. I'll give it to you. It is, okay. I have candles, lighters, battery-operated radio, solar-operated battery charger.
Smart.
Matches, extra water, and battery operated radios, like the two way radios.
I think you need like dried oats. You need like some food in there that can like.
Well, here's another thing.
I thought I would just fast the whole time.
I got 8 chickens in my backyard, and I get 8 eggs a day. I am playing. We ain't playing at the Situation Compound.
Fuck.
I get 8 eggs a day. And if you check my story, I just gave like a dozen eggs to JWoww. They just taste so much better. It's like natural, organic. I feed my eggs like the best stuff. I mean, they're getting Italian seasoning. We're giving them crushed red pepper.
The chickens are getting that.
Yeah, the chicks, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. We ain't playing.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's better than I'm eating.
When I wake up, the mark of a great day for me is how many eggs I'm getting from my backyard. I'm serious. It's amazing.
I want to have chickens, but it's a little bit hard here in New York to have chickens.
Oh, they're pretty.
Unless you have a roof.
They're pretty easy to take care of. Like if you've never had them before, it's like 15 minutes a day to take care of them. And that's if you're on top of everything. My chickens look amazing. They're big. They're beautiful. My eggs are nice and clean. My coop is clean. Obviously, you can tell I use that same obsessive personality.
I'm like, wait.
As you can,
your chicken's coop is clean all the time.
Because it's part of dad's duty to go in the backyard and make sure things are in order. It's a cool little fun fact. I got 8 chickens in the backyard, and we get about 8 eggs every single day. You like scrambled or over easy?
Over easy.
I got you.
Do you ever have your kids like take care of the chickens?
I have the 2-year-old come out and it's amazing. We jump in the golf cart, we go in the backyard,
and we get
the eggs and we give them to mom. It's adorable.
That's really cute. Okay, well, Mike, this has been such a great episode. I feel like we covered so many things.
We did. It was cool. Yeah.
And you're just a great testament to what kind of life you can live no matter what your circumstances are right now.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, listen, the comeback is greater than the setback. You got to just really never give up and believe in yourself and push forward one day at a time.
Damn. Okay. And your book, Reality Check?
Yes, it is killing it right now. We have been in the past couple of weeks, I think, the top 20 books in the world. We have thousands of reviews on Amazon. The most common denominator in review of the book is that they cannot put it down.
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely highly recommend that you guys just give it a shot. It's definitely going to be a movie shortly.
And you were telling me earlier, you did not leave anything out.
No,
like,
I didn't.
You put every single crazy ass thing that's happened to you.
I mean, if you read that book, you'll be like, oh my God. you're like, oh my God. Like you, it's a real page turner, you know, and it has a lot to it. I mean, it's not just a book about addiction. It's a book about overcoming obstacles. I mean, you know, and I really think that everyone's gonna love it. Just give it a shot.
Yep. And then your podcast with your wife, Here's the Sitch.
Yes, yes. We were doing that for a couple of years.
And
so
now, not so much.
We took a break because, you know, we've been having so many babies.
That's a great reason.
Yes. Yeah. I have in my house, I got 3 babies now.
And like, 8 chickens. Oh, no, 8 eggs.
Oh, no, no. Three babies and eight chickens, yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's a lot going on over there.
Yeah, I mean, when you put one baby down and you're like, you see another one, you're like, oh, wow, there's another baby. And then you turn around, there's another one. You're like, oh, my God. Anyway, at the end of the day, I'm living my dream, man. I mean, and then the dream for me was to have this big Italian family. And I'm living it. You know, I'm doing it.
You got it.
Yeah.
You got what you wanted. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for coming on. And for everyone listening, go check out his book. And please subscribe to my channel. And I'll talk to you guys next week. Bye. Okay.
Yes. So cool.
Woo!